The reading today is from the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Here ends the lesson.
Invite you to have your Bibles open to John, the first chapter, and we're continuing our chronological read through Scripture. So no doubt you've heard the phrase, get a life, right? Get a life. It's usually kind of said when, you know, someone's kind of fallen by the wayside, not stepping up, get a life. But certainly the quest, if you will, to get a life drives our life. Wouldn't you agree with that? Get a life. When you're young, study hard, get a degree, get a good job, good pay, you know, make your mark, get a nice home. How about a car, a Beamer? Get in life, right? All right, this one's probably not quite as exciting. Get a life, eat right, vegetables, broccoli, exercise hard, get fit. I have this spin instructor, and he'll say, you know, when we're spinning, he says, get your swagger on. Celebrate your fitness. Is that an oxymoron? Celebrate your fitness? You get the point. Or how about this? I have worked hard. It's time for me to just get a little life, right? You know, I got a nest egg. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to travel a bit. I'm going to sleep in the morning. Next one. That does look pretty good, doesn't it, about now? Read the paper, a good cup of coffee. Get life? Yeah, I got mine by the tail. Talking about getting life, the Cardinal game last Monday night. All right. We were really living it up, tailgating. Before the game, I drank too much. 3 sodas, man, I was just like crazy. The place is rocking. It's a packed house, fanfare. The environment is electric, right? Cards started off well. They scored on their opening drive. They're dominating. Ezekiel Elliott's getting snuffed at the line. This is really living up. Got a life. Yeah. When you think about getting a life, do you have a life? Do you got a life? That's really what John's gospel. It really is about believing, and in believing in Jesus, having life. He writes these words at the end of the gospel, but these are written, these words, so they may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And really, John's gospel begins really with Jesus, the Word who gives life, the one through whom God brought creation into existence, life. Look at verse 1, if you will. Verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John using that phrase, in the beginning, he, of course, is going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where we read, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he uses that phrase, in the beginning and the Word of God. He's talking about Jesus and how Jesus has his origins way back. Way back at the very beginning of creation. And we read, too, that the Word was with God and was, of course, a verb to be. It's in the imperfect tense and has that sense of kind of ongoing, continuous action that's never completed. Jesus always, even before time, the creation, was with God and the Spirit. Jesus, of course, not a created being, always was, always will be. The same with the Father and the Son. So he's establishing this sense of Jesus, at the very beginning of creation. Oh, even before creation came into being, Jesus. And then we read in the latter part there that he was, and the Word was God. Of course, the pre-incarnate Christ always was God. And that's John's gospel establishes the divinity of Christ very clearly. Even Jesus himself says in about chapter 8 or 9, he says, before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. And that, of course, is how God revealed himself to Moses. I am who I am. Jesus is very clearly stating, I am God. I'm God. I want you to notice something important here, and I'm coming to a conclusion here. But word there in verse 1 is translated from the Greek word logos. And John is writing to a predominantly Greek-speaking audience, to a Hellenistic culture. So he's wanting to speak to them in the terms that they can understand. Logos. Jesus is the logos. And the Greeks understand logos as the agent through which God brought creation into existence. And so John is saying, Jesus is the logos. He's the agent through which God created, brought forth everything. And in logos, there's this also understanding of wisdom. The Greeks were into lofty wisdom. And he's saying, this wisdom behind this intelligent designer, the wisdom behind the intelligent design beyond creation is this logos. And by the way, Jesus is the logos. So one can say in a word that Jesus is the one through whom creation has derived, or the one through whom creation has received very life, purpose, and meaning. As a result, John says then in verse 2, all things. He was in the beginning with the Word. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Jesus is the focal point of all creation. Again, the agent of creation, the one through whom creation derives life, and he's the one in whom we discover the very true meaning of life and have life itself. So I love what then he says in the latter part of 3 and verse 4. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So here's the main point here. Christianity is not about a philosophy of life that one adheres to. Christianity is not kind of a method for living. Rather, Christianity is about the living presence of Christ who makes his presence known here and now through the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about Jesus, yes, human, fully human, but also, of course, as mentioned, divine, a divine person, alive, thinking, feeling for all eternity. When I say get a life, or when we talk about getting life, it's really our lives in the life of Christ, or the life of Christ in our very lives. So Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, life in me, and life that is an abundant life. Abundant life in Jesus. Talking more than just physical life, right? We're not talking about just a life wherein, our heart that beats, a mouth that speaks, legs that walk, hands that grab. When John's talking about life, he's talking about that life where we know we are forgiven and loved. A life where we're empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit who guides us into the life Jesus would have for us. When you have life in Christ right here now, you have the gift of eternal life because nothing can separate us from life. Get alive. Got life when we got Jesus. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is what John writes in his epistles. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's pretty clear, is it not? Abundant life, life in Christ, the living Christ. Let me give you a couple examples then of what I mean. This past week I was having a discussion with some folks, and one of this person described a sibling who was kind of difficult. Anybody have a difficult sibling? Perhaps you're that difficult sibling. We all can be difficult at times, right? We all need grace. But that this particular sibling at time, for whatever reason, has some legitimate needs. But initially, this person talked about kind of the frustration and kind of the weight that this person is and perhaps some resentments. But because of life in Christ, this person describes a growing sense of patience, extending some grace and some mercy, and even some provision and support, regular provision and support. All again because this is a person whose life is in Christ, and the very life of Christ is being manifested. We become a vessel of divine life for this world. I love that phrase. What has come into being in him is life. Here's another example. I visited a man in the hospital. It's a guy I've been visiting for quite some time, but he's in the hospital. He's about a 94-year-old guy. And one can say that he really doesn't have much life left in his physical body. But this is a person who loves the gospel. This is a person who loves Jesus, always eager to receive, you know, spiritual support and care. In fact, his faith ministers to me and encourages me in faith. But he allows me to, you know, he invites me to read the word, to pray with him. I even sing with him, Jesus loves me. And so when I visited him in the hospital, again, physically not well, but shared some scripture I felt like God had given me, prayed with him, sung over him, and just blessed him. And you know, the glow of the divine life, the very glory of God written all over this man's countenance, if you will. A powerful manifestation of God, the person of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Got a life? Yeah, he's got one. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And John is very clear, very clear. Unbelief is darkness. Unbelief is darkness. Not believing and receiving Jesus is to not have life, and it is to walk in darkness. To believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, that he is the anointed one of God, anointed for the purpose of setting a world free from sin, trusting and hearing the word of God through Jesus and through Scripture, and walking in faith and trust. That's what it means to have life. That's what it means to walk in the light of Jesus. He says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Holy cow, I am God. I bring very light. Let there be light. I'm bringing the light of new creation. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, no matter how dark out it is, but will have the light of life. Let me ask you, you got life? Are you walking in the light? Let me talk about another situation. The living presence of Christ existentially makes a difference in how we live our life in every aspect of it. I mentioned that Cardinal game. Well, we know what began well didn't end so well. They ended up losing 28-17. And if that wasn't bad enough, there were tons of Dallas Cowboy fans around me. Today, I'm going to the game and taking inventory. I know where there were Cowboy fans in these particular seats. I'm going to scout them out. I think there's nothing more frustrating than going to an opposing stadium and taunting the home field fans. I'm talking about me. I don't like it. When I was younger, because when I would have a few sodas, I'd get a little crazy. I was prone to fisticuffs. But now I just suffer in silence. It was a frustrating game, a frustrating experience. In fact, my Brad said, I can never remember having such a rotten time. But unfortunately, the point of this is there was some drama, some frustration, and it spilled over. And there was an argument, and I got in that argument. And there was an impasse, and there was hard feelings. I felt bad, you know? But here's the point. I'm doing this message, the living presence of Christ, and to be able to resource God through Jesus and the Spirit and just say, Lord, I just turn this over to you. Just invite you into it. God, help me. Look what verse 11 says, 12 of chapter 1. And previous to this, and I'll get back to this. Previous to this, he's talking about how he came into the world. The world did not receive him. He came to his own. They did not receive it. They did not believe on him. But to all who received him, who believed on his name, he gave power to become the children of God. The key words, receiving and believing. I knew I needed God in this situation. So God, I'm open to you to help in the impasse of this situation that has kind of been broken. That's an act of will. God, I'm open to your living presence, Jesus. I'm open to receive you, your divine life. And then trusting and believing is an act of will as well to want to hear from. And then based on what God says, you take action. And I know as a believer that I'm supposed to be a peacemaker to reconcile. So I did give this person, this particular person that I had the argument with, a phone call. No problem, Johnny. No problem. You know, he took ownership for some of his stuff because it wasn't all me. And I took ownership for mine. So now while we're drinking soda, we're going to sing Kumbaya, my own. What has come into being in him is life. Oh, the very life of God, the light of all people. Let me ask, is there a situation or two right now? Truth be known, you really need to open your heart up to receive Jesus, the living presence through the power of the Spirit. Maybe it's some conflicts in your own life, some bad blood between a family member or a friend. I just say, seek the living presence, be open to receive, and allow the Spirit to guide you, perhaps softening your heart to see a side of the situation. Perhaps open to the living presence of Christ, the grace of God and Jesus, and being able to let go of and forgive yourself. What's in the past is the past. Begin anew. Maybe it's a financial situation. I mean, God is a God of provision. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He means both spiritual sustenance as he speaks a word of faith into us, but he also talks about, we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that God will provide for our needs. We don't know how, but I do see all the time, God providing for needs, not wants. Perhaps the situation is the loss of a loved one, and you're deep in grief. Lord, living presence, Jesus says, in the face of Lazarus' death, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, the living person of Christ infusing life in our lives through the Spirit. So we experience the living presence of Jesus. Paul tells us that's a guarantee of that which is to come. I can't fathom heaven. They say heaven is like earth, only so much better because there's no longer the fallenness of this world. But yet it's real life. I can't fathom it. But I do experience life in Christ through the Spirit right here and now. Friends, receiving and believing, open to the living presence of Christ, inviting in, believing, acting upon the word of God as spoken into our heart and living accordingly. And that's what it means to get alive. Get alive. Just one other promise here. Look at verse 4-5. I love this. The light then, this life in Christ and the light. And then he says, the light shines. The light shines in the darkness of an unbelieving world. And the darkness, however, did not overcome this word made flesh, this life in Christ. Jesus is, again, the author of life, the agent of creation. God spoke through Christ this world into existence from nothing. Did you hear that? God spoke this creation and our very lives into existence out of nothing. Atheists would have us believe that life, you know, personal, conscious life comes from inanimate material matter. Are you kidding me? How that's possible? We believe inanimate material matter is infused with life through the personal divine life of God. So if God can speak life into existence out of nothing, no matter how dark our situation, God can breathe new life into us. Can I hear an amen to that? That's God. He's God. He can bring forth new life from nothing, from the ashes. Could I have that picture up there? I want you to think about this. The light shines in the darkness. Oh, it was dark out. In fact, creation turned dark when Jesus was on the cross. The crushing weight of sin, Jesus' head down. Powers of darkness thinking they've triumphed. Next picture, yet on Easter, by the power of God, death could not hold the one through whom creation came into being, the author of life. Jesus emerged from the tomb, alive and victorious. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome him and a life in Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Got life? Yeah, right? Got life. If you got Jesus, you got a life. Can I hear amen to that? Amen.